very happy to have with us, as he always is, Bernie Kosar. Bernie, how you doing, man?
Good Fridays to you.
Yeah, happy Friday to you, too. Well, we're talking about a lot of things relative to draft and free agency, because free agency is fast approaching. The draft is the ongoing conversation. And Tom Heckert with us earlier in the show, and also spoke yesterday with media here in Berea. And the perspective first is that I think as the Browns approach the draft, as he said, you know, everybody's on the radar. I love that line. And it was the safe way of answering the question of not pinpointing a particular guy. But he did say, quote, everybody's on the radar. But the conversation yesterday and the conversation that I had with him naturally steers to quarterbacks. And I think when we talk about it from a draft perspective, it's still resonating how well the presumptive top two guys, and as Tom identified them as well, Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III, how well they, you know, accounted them for themselves at the combine, even though they didn't throw.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, this is a tough time of the year for all the Tom Heckers, GMs, coaches, executives of the league, because every word is scrutinized. Every body movement, every inflection, it's scrutinized and tried to be understood, determined, judged. And you are really looking at anything, anybody, anything that could make your team better, any guy, any player that could make your team better now and in the future without giving away maybe some of your plans. So one thing's for sure, whether it's Tom Heckert and the Browns or the other teams, NFL teams, do their due diligence on just about everybody and lay awake at night trying to think of ways to become a better team and organization. No doubt about it.
Yeah, and he has been amused by all the talk of trades because the scenarios have been very specific, reported as very specific, and he seemed to make it pretty clear that a lot of what is being reported sounds like it's been made out of whole cloth, that they're, you know, to get down to the specifics of saying what the Browns are already willing to offer for a particular deal. And Bernie, I'm inclined to think that a lot of this talk, which just through the years of having experienced this, and you've experienced this, we've both been around this a long time, that this is what's done this time of year. You manufacture things as teams because it behooves you to do that, to force someone else's hand, to hope that this gets another team, you know, thinking and reacting, although it seems to me that most of the people involved in this league go into it with such natural skepticism that they don't trust what they're hearing from most media sources and otherwise that talk about, quote, league sources saying the following about a trade or whatever.
Yeah, probably like society and maybe human nature now, where we want to know and have our gratification immediately. In the NFL, in particular, almost never are the deals done this early, especially when it comes to draft. As a matter of fact, slash ironically, probably the last time a team prematurely made a deal was for the regular draft was when Houston and the Minnesota Vikings and Bud Grant in 1985 traded and swapped second and third round picks because the Vikings and Bud Grant wanted to draft me. And I ended up going into the supplemental draft,
right,
and they got caught with kind of their hand in the cookie jar and didn't end up getting the quarterback they wanted, and I ended up in Cleveland. So teams know that it's incredibly early, that there's kind of a poker game going on, that how the dominoes are going to fall with guys like Peyton Manning, that you're not sure exactly what to do, and they don't want a premature rush to a decision that could ultimately not be a good decision, given that the draft isn't until the end of April.
Yeah, no, that's such a good point. We're visiting with Bernie Kosar, the regular here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Bernie, when it comes to the other topic, which of course free agency is going to be front and center on Tuesday, and we're going to have more time to talk about that, I know, at the beginning of next week as well. But one of the things that Tom Heckert mentioned was, again, that the Browns are not going to, quote, go crazy in free agency, that they're going to take that methodical approach. It doesn't rule out anybody necessarily, but in terms of the overall plan, it still sounds like it'll be targeted, very specific to finding a role-playing player, a position that where you need help, but you're not necessarily going for anybody of a marquee type of name, at least just based on what he was saying, and that was the approach that, you know, we saw this team take a year ago.
Well, and again, sometimes I know that doesn't make for the sexiest stories and sexiest off season, but real typically, and history has showed that guys are free agents for a reason, and they usually have some scars or skeletons in their closet that make it the reason why they are available. And very rarely has it shown that the guys who get the big paper, the overblown contracts, turn out to be a raising success. So trying to selectively fill your roster with, albeit even us last year with the running back in Green Bay and signing someone that was supposed to fit a need on second long third down, albeit he gets hurt and spends the year on IR, but was having a phenomenal training camp. Selectively finding key pieces to supplement your roster tends to be the better success ratio for the long-term development of your team.
Yeah, you're talking about Brandon Jackson, of course, and
yes,
he's very much part of the running back plan going into this year, and he will even be more so if Peyton Hillis ends up going elsewhere, because he's going to enter the open market next week. And although Tom Heckert said the team would love to keep all of its free agents, the reality is some of them aren't going to be back.
Right. And again, it's one of the awesome things about the league, and one of the tough things about the league is the transition and turnover. Even in the best of teams, you have 20-25% turnover on your rosters annually, and on other teams sometimes it's up in that 35% range. So that's stuff that happens, and you have to kind of gear towards it. It's a youthful game, it's an athletic game, and you have to kind of be on the edge of kind of, you don't want to be caught like some teams tend to get caught keeping guys that year or two too long and miss out on a possible replacement that can contribute and be more productive and make more plays currently.
Bernie, Tom hit on an interesting topic too yesterday with regard to quarterbacks who in the draft who aren't necessarily the marquee guys going into the draft. Now, this draft's all about marquee, right? It's a conversation of Andrew Luck and RG3, and it almost stops there, although Ryan Tannehill's name from Texas A&M gets brought up from time to time or often as maybe the third guy, but I don't know what the distance is between those top two and Tannehill. That's a question that has to be resolved. But
his off-season injury not being able to work out really kind of made that even more speculative.
And 20 career starts. I mean, there's a list of reasons why you're not really sure about this guy. But here's the point that was brought up, is whether a guy like a Colt McCoy, who did not come in as the premium guy, and for the record, Tom Heckert saying that, you know, this team has not given up on McCoy at all. No matter how many, the line of questioning is about quarterbacks, but he has made it very clear that this team has made no decision to say McCoy's out of anything. But he was asked, can you still find a premium quarterback? A star quarterback or a standout quarterback, even in a non-premium draft position. And he brings up Aaron Rodgers going, 26th overall. He brings up Andy Dalton, hearing all the criticism about his maybe lack of size going into last year's draft, and he plays well for the Bengals and ends up in the Pro Bowl. So those guys can still make it, right, Bernie? I mean, you don't have to necessarily be the premium guy coming into the draft as a player. And we know, I mean, we can take it to Tom Brady. We could take it to other extremes, but, you know, you don't necessarily have to grab that guy in the upper tier.
It's why the pressure level, the success level, the challenging level is so much here with the NFL. It's ironic that yes is the short answer to your question, but also then you factor in the top 10 draft picks in the NFL. Historically, quarterbacks and receivers give the highest reward and the highest failure rate in the top 10. So it's tough at the front, and it's tough the other way because, yes, you could find the Aaron Rodgers at 23, 24, 25, Dalton, Andy Dalton at the early in the second round, Tom Brady late sixth round. But probably when you do that, the percentages of success are probably 1 in 10, 2 in 10. So, you do make them, but for everyone that probably does make it, you're probably looking at 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 that don't make it. And at the top of the draft, probably for everyone that makes it, everyone doesn't. So you're looking at 50-50. And right now it's imperative, as everybody has said, the picks that we have, three of the first 37, it's imperative that we find and hit right, and so that we aren't on the negative side of that statistical curve.
Great stuff, Bernie, as always, and we look forward to catching up with you again at the beginning of next week.
Sounds great. Have a great weekend.
All right. He is Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does, right here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.